We're doing Gemara Makos. We're up to Daf Heyam at Beis, the Mishnah. Second wide line. Ein Eidim Zomimim Neragim Ad Sheigamer Adin. The Eidim Zomimim only get executed if they became Eidim Zomimim after the Gemara Din, after the courts had reached a verdict based upon their testimony. The Sadducees would say that they only get punished if the verdict was actually executed. Shneimar nefesh benefesh, because by Eidim Zomimim it says lo tachos einecha nefesh benefesh. Don't have mercy. You take a soul for a soul. Amu lehem chachmim alo kvar neimar vasitem lo kasher zaman lasot la'achiv. So the rabbi said to the Sadducees, but the verse says, do unto him as he plotted to do, as he plotted to do unto his brother. What does it mean unto his brother? V'achiv kayam. It seems to talk about the brother who's still here. Do unto him what he planned on doing unto him. But it sounds like he's still around. Im ken lama neimar nefesh benefesh, yachol misha shekiblu edutan yargu, talmud amar nefesh benefesh, aina neragin ad sheigamer adin. Why does it say a soul for a soul? To tell you that it's not enough that their testimony was accepted. That's not enough to make them punishable. It has to be that the courts actually reached a verdict based upon their testimony. And only then do we say that they should be executed in place of his soul that they put in peril. Tana, Beribi Omer. The Braisa quotes a Tana by the name of Beribi. Lo argu neragin. If they did not execute based upon their testimony, so even though the court reached a verdict, but they didn't execute the verdict, so then neragin, then the witnesses can themselves get executed. Harigu, ein neragin. If their testimony caused the person to be killed, so then even though they became Edom Zomimin afterwards, they do not get the death penalty. Amar Aviv, so his father said to him, Bni lav kal vachomeru. Son, isn't it a fortiori? If when they didn't succeed in killing, they get killed, so shouldn't they certainly get killed if they did? Amar lo, limatan rabbeinu shen onshin min adin. He said, yeah, but you told us a rule. You can't use a fortiori to punish. Titania, we learn this concept from the following braisa. The Torah says, Isha sheikach tochto bat avivo bat imo. If a person weds, he tries to wed his sister who shares a father, or his sister who shares a mother with him. En li ela bat aviv shelo bat imo, bat imo shelo bat aviv. The pasuk only referenced a sister who shares a father, or a sister who shares a mother. Shelo bat aviv uvat imo minayin. How do I know that if he has a sister that shares both the father and the mother, that even in such an instance, he may not marry her? Talmud lomar, vat achoto gila. That's why the verse repeats and says he is punishable because he revealed his sister. Why does it repeat the fact that she is his sister? To tell me it includes a sister who's his whole sister with both parents as well. Ad shelo yomar, the pasuk could have refrained from saying it. Yesh li bedin, I could have derived it logically. If the pasuk punished him for living with his sister who only shares a father with him and not a mother, and for a sister who shares a mother but not a father, isn't it obvious that when they share both the father and the mother, that is punishable if he sleeps with her? So the pasuk here taught you, you can't use logic to punish a person. The punishment has to be spelled out. Now here the Gemara really told us a big chiddush. There are three types of kal vachomer. As the Prima Gadim explains in the Ginat V'Radim. One type of kal vachomer is the kal vachomer in our Mishnah. The kal vachomer in the Braisa. You have two distinct cases. One is where the witnesses said, and we did not execute. The other is where they said, and we did execute. You ask any person, the second case is more severe than the first case. So I have two distinct cases. One is more severe than the first one. And if I punish the first one, it would seem logical I should also punish the second one because it is more severe. I have a relationship between the two, and it seems logical that if the stringency applied to the more lenient one, it should certainly apply to the more stringent one. That's type 1 kavachomer. Type 2 kavachomer is the kavachomer we just had in the braisa. I have a sister who shares a father. I have a sister who shares a mother. A sister who shares both encompasses the other two cases. It's not just that it's more severe, it is really encompassing. So that's a weightier kal v'chomer. And even there the Torah said, you can't punish such a kal v'chomer, that has to be spelled out. So the Torah took the kal v'chomer that would seemingly be most obvious. If I have $1 in my pocket, I could buy it. So certainly if I have $2 in my pocket, I could buy it, because those are two of the one, right? So you would think, isn't that obvious? No. Here you see, if I need a kal v'chomer to say it, you can't punish by a kal v'chomer. You'd say, wait a second, but she's his sister from the father. Punish him from that. She's the sister from the mother. Punish him from that. No. It's a new concept. You need a kal v'chomer. That's also called a kal v'chomer. And even there, the Torah says, don't punish unless it says it.
What's the third thing?
I have to draw it out. It's not in order to understand the distinction between the first and the third, the way we described them, I have to draw it out. We did it once, wasn't it here?
Maybe it was. I don't remember.
Okay. Says the Gemara. Onesh Shamanu. Okay, you proved to me that you can't punish from a fortiori or from logic. The two are not synonymous, meaning Ein Onshin Min Adin, do we also say Ein Onshin Migzera Shava? Ein Onshin Mi Mamatzinu? Right. So all we've proven is that you cannot punish from a kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, Onesh shamanu azara minayin. I understand now that I can't punish without a source. I can't do it based on a kal v'chomer. What about azhara? We have a rule that the Torah has to prohibit something. It has to warn you. It has to tell you don't do it in order for it to be prohibited. It's not enough that the Torah says, if you do it, it is punishable with the following punishment. The Torah actually has to spell out the words, don't do it. So we also have a concept that ein mazhirin min adin. You can't have a warning that's derived from a kal v'chomer. How do you know that concept? Says the Gemara, Talmud lomar, ervat achotecha bat avicha, o vat imecha, moledet bayit. The Torah says, don't reveal your sister who shares a mother, your sister who shares a father, and don't reveal your sister, again, here it just says, who shares a father, bat avicha o bat imecha, or who shares a mother. En li ela bat aviv shelo bat imo, u bat imo shelo bat aviv. The pasuk reference a sister who shares a father or a mother. But aviv uvatimo minayin, how do I know that it's prohibited when she shares both a father and a mother? Talmud lomar, vat bat eshet avicha moledet avicha achotecha hi. That's why the Torah says the sister who is the daughter of your father's wife, born by your father, she is your sister. Don't reveal. Ad shelo yomar yesh li min adin. Mai muzar al bat imo shelo bat aviv, uvat aviv shelo bat aviv, uvat imo lo kol sheken. So I could have figured that out logically. Why did it have to spell it out? Halamata shen mazirin min adin. So here you learn, you can't warn from a kal v'chomer. Okay. Chayvei malkiyot minayin. How do you know that when a person's chayav makos? Now we're going back to the previous sugya. We've closed the sugya of ein onshin min adin. Now we're going back to what we said in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that if they caused the person to be killed, then we do not punish them with the death penalty. So then there's no kasher zamam. So now the Gemara is questioning, okay, the verse you quoted to me said nefesh benefesh. What about makos? What about Edom Zomimim who caused the person to get makos? How do you know that if they actually caused them to get makos, they won't get lashes? How do you know that it's only if they caused the Gemar Din, but not if that Gemar Din was actually brought into fruition? Talmud Lomar, Resha, Resha. The Torah says, Resha, what's the Lashon there? Lashon says, Vayam binakota Rasha. I don't remember the Gzer Shav over there. What? Vayam binakota Rasha, and what's the other one? I don't remember. There's another. Ashahu Rasha Lamut. So it says by the death penalty, Ashahu Rasha Lamut. It says in Binakota Rasha. So you have the word Rasha by Makos, you have the word Rasha by the death penalty. So we derive one from the other. Chavei Galuyot Minayin. How do you know that when it comes to exile, again, they'll only go into exile, they'll only get Makos for testifying that the guy deserves exile if there was a Gemar Din, but not if it was actually executed? So here we learn out, Atya Rotzeach Rotzeach. Zer Shava of Rotzeach Rotzeach. I don't remember the Pasuk.
Rotzeach.
Shehu Shalamut. Right, so over there by Rasha, it says Rotzeach, right. Right. Very good. Okay. Thank you, Gemara. Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai. Interesting, scary Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai says the following statement in the Braisa. Ere b'nechama. He says I should have to be comforted over a serious loss. Im lo haragti et zomem, lo tzi miliban shel tzedukin. One of two witnesses became an eid zomem after we had called the verdict, but not yet executed the verdict. And I did it to try and dissuade the Sadducees. They held that you only execute after their witness was executed. And we hold that no, even if it was just only a verdict was reached, no, specifically if only a verdict was reached, only then do we execute. So now, he did something that's an error. One of the witnesses became Eid Zomim. We have a rule that they both have to become Eid Zomim before they're punishable. Now this witness became an Eid Zomim after the verdict, before the execution. So Yehuda ben Tabai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, killed him. Now, technically he didn't deserve the death penalty. Technically he was an Eid Zomim because the timing was right, but only one of them became Eid Zomim, and we're going to see in the next Mishnah that all of the witnesses have to become Eid Zomim before you could punish them.
That's the opinion of Rav Shimon.
That's what we're going to see right now.
He's the accepted opinion?
Yes. Amar lo Shimon ben Shatach. So Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach, who was the Av Bezdin, said to him, רב נחמה, I should need comforting. אם לא שפכת דם נקי, if you didn't spill clean blood. So the guy was a liar. The guy tried to kill someone, but he didn't deserve the death penalty. שאמרו חכמים, our sages taught, אין העדים זוממים נהרגים עד שיזומו שניהם. Edim Zomimin don't get executed until both of them are found to be Edim Zomimin. Ven Lokina Chi Zomu Shnehem, nor do they get lashes till both of them become Edim Zomimin. Wow! So here he thought he was doing something pious. He made a mistake. The great Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai made a mistake.
Oh, he didn't remember the Mishnah.
Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai. You know who Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai is? Yehuda ben Tabai v'Shimon ben Shatach kiblu mehem. Yehuda ben Tabai was the Nasi who was on top of Shimon ben Shatach. He was the third of the Zugos. Yossi ben Yoezer, Yoshua ben Prachya, and Yehuda ben Tabai. He is the third Nasi of the Zugos. He was supposed to be on top of Shimon ben Shatach.
The Mishnah.
Okay, good question. So Yehuda ben Tabai teaches us in Pirkei Avot. He teaches us about witnesses as does Shimon ben Shatach. So Shimon ben Shatach tells Yehuda ben Tabai, you murdered. מיד קיבל אליו רב יהודה בן תבאי שאינו מורה הוראה אלא לפני שמעון בן שטח. From that moment, he accepted upon himself that he won't give a halachic ruling unless Shimon ben Shatach is there. He's the Nasi.
He lowered himself.
That's what he says. I'm not passing without him. וכל ימיו של רב יהודה בן תבאי המשתתח על קברו של אותו העד. And throughout his life, he would throw himself, he would sprawl himself out over the grave of that witness. והיה קולו נשמע, and they'd hear his voice, וכסבורין העם לומר קולו של הרוג, and they'd hear the voice, they'd think it was the person who was killed talking. He would be on the grave, they'd hear the voice, אמר קולי שלי הוא. He said, it's my voice, it's not the dead talking, it's me talking. תדעו למחר הוא מת, אין קולו נשמע. He said, I'll prove it to you, you'll see, once I die, you won't hear any voice coming out of his grave. It's me.
Who met is him?
Yeah, he says it about himself. He doesn't want to say it about himself, so he says him. Amale Ravacha Breit Rav El Ravashi Dilma Bedina Kambade Inami Piyusei Paisei. Dilma Bedina Kambade Inami to you say, I say. So Rav Acha Breid Rava says to Rav Ashi, Yehuda ben Tabai claims it wasn't the deceased talking. Why? Because when Yehuda ben Tabai passed away, they stopped hearing the voice. That's not a proof. Dilma bedina kambade, it could be the reason the voice stopped protesting was because they actually stood before the court in heaven. So they had no reason to protest. So long as Yehuda ben Tabai was alive, the voice was protesting. Why are you alive and I'm dead? You killed me. So that's the fact that when Yudavan Tabai passed away, the voice went silent. That's not a proof. Like Yudavan Tabai claimed, it's me talking, it's not the deceased. Because maybe the reason the voice went silent was because now he had room to lay his claims. Yudavan Tabai was in the court of heaven. Inami, or else, maybe the reason the voice went silent was because Piusei Paise, Yudavan Tabai, finally managed to appease him. So that's not a proof. Maybe it was the deceased. Maybe people knew what they were talking about when they say they heard a voice coming from the grave and it wasn't Yudavan Tabai there.
The argument is whether or not Yudavan Tabai was telling the truth.
I don't know. Maybe Yudavan Tabai didn't want people walking around saying there's a grave that's talking. He felt it wasn't a good idea. And Rav Acha Breid, the Rava, called his claim. Yudavan Tabai says, I know you heard someone talking there last night. That was me. I was by the grave talking to him.
So why did it sit here, Chachamim Omri?